Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. We know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts and chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and tonight we're going to read beginning in verse 42 and a brief but important message as we approach our 24th anniversary next Sunday and as we begin the 25th year of ministry. Would you stand together with me to a familiar portion of Scripture, Acts 2, 42. And we're going to read Acts 2, 42 down through the end of the chapter. I've entitled the message tonight with one word, continuing. Continuing. And it is my prayer that this would be a continuing church. Maybe. A people continuing on in what we know to be right and in what God has blessed in this church, perhaps as few other churches I know of in recent history. We would be fools to stop yielding now to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a parent who heard their child speak a moment ago who would not stop and say, I'm sure glad I'm here, and I'm sure glad I'm hearing what I'm hearing. And yet we must continue. And so let's read about the early church. We know about the great start. We know about the day of Pentecost. We know about that. But then the Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Would you look at verse 42 and would you simply with me say the first half of that verse? Ready, begin. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And they continued. Let's say that together. And they continued. And may we continue. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for just the privilege once again to be here for the testimonies, the good reports. And Lord, I pray that we would intentionally, purposefully continue on, faithfully looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time in your word tonight. Fill me with your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If America will continue to be a Christian nation, then Christians must continue in the truth of God. If America will continue to be a Christian nation, then we must continue to be Christian people. Not just in the sense of being born again, but in the sense of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally believe tonight that many of the problems in America are because of pastors and churches who have failed to continue on doing what they were doing 40 or 50 years ago. My friend, 50 years ago, you would not find a Baptist church not having Sunday night church. 50 years ago, you would not find a Baptist church canceling Bible study. 50 years ago, you would find churches that would have standards for their camp and soul winning for their outreach. And you would find essentially, and I often tell folks, and I go out and visit folks from different backgrounds, sometimes not saved, and they become saved. And I'll meet people from certain Baptist denominations, and I'll say, well, Perhaps one of the ways to describe Lancaster Baptist Church is that we're sort of like your denomination was 40 and 50 years ago. And by the way, I hope what we're really like is what we're reading about tonight, the first century New Testament church. But somewhere along the line, so many churches and so many Christians have stopped continuing. And what we need today are some preachers who, like John the Baptist, will stand in the face of Herod and will preach against the sins of the hour. And Christians who, like Stephen, who, like the early men and women in the New Testament, will stand and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and just continue on in what we started with so many decades ago. We must be a continuing people, going on doing what God has called us to do. And yet, instead of being a continuing people, many circles today have become a canceling people. They have canceled revival meetings. Many pastors would not attempt a midsummer conference. By the way, I happen to believe midsummer is when we need it the most. Many have canceled soul winning. Many have canceled missions conference. Many have canceled some of the very things that America needs the most. Listen, we don't need less soul winning in America. We need more soul winning in America. We don't need less preaching in America. We need more preaching in America. And I believe one of the keys to the Church of Jerusalem is just found in that little phrase tonight. And they continued. Hey, what's been going on around here for 24 years? We want to just continue doing what we've been doing to the glory and honor of God. There was a governor in North Carolina back in 1788 by the name of Samuel Johnston. And in the year 1788, there was a campaign and there were a few different men running for the office of governor. And Samuel Johnston said something in his speech on the campaign trail that I came across recently, and it was an interesting assessment of America. And he said, and I quote, "Those who are Mohammedans or any others who are not professors of the Christian religion can never be elected to the office of president or other higher office unless first the people of America lay aside the Christian religion altogether. It may happen. Should this unfortunately take place, the people will choose such men as think as they do themselves." Now the fact is that over 200 years ago, here was a man who said America would not elect a Mohammedan to be a president unless America ceased to be a Christian nation. The majority of the people at that time period, not all, but the majority, professed a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, our representatives reflected the fabric of this great land. My friend, tonight, if we do not continue on in the next 24 years doing what God's called us to do, if we don't rally others to the cause, only God knows who could become leadership in this land. Only God knows who will hold the higher offices. But I say to you that we must see a revival of men and women coming to Christ who will elect and who will say we need leadership that is representative of the teachings of the Word of God. We must continue on in the way that God has called us to go. Sometimes we get frustrated about certain leaders or whatever the case might be, and many times they are merely the reflection of America as a whole. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed." Jesus spoke often about follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men, and I am the door, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And salvation is by faith, but discipleship involves continuing the Lord and walking in His precepts and being faithful to Him. I want you to just see with me tonight briefly how the early church continued in their Christian life. Notice in the first place, doctrine was a priority in their church. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse number 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." I was teaching our new members class this morning about the importance of doctrine. And I said to them that doctrine is the glue that holds the church together. And while many are downplaying the importance of doctrine, they, in the early New Testament church, continued in the study of doctrine. And they studied the doctrine of salvation. They studied the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they studied what they had been given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this doctrine was important to the church. They studied the fundamental foundational truths. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is our responsibility to lift up the truth. And in order to lift it up, we need to know it ourselves. And they continued in the doctrine. 1 John 2 and verse 19 says something interesting. It says, "And they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." In order to continue, you've got to first be real. That is, you've got to be saved. And secondly, you've got to continue on in the doctrine of the Word of God. In the Bible, in John chapter 6 and verse 60, Jesus was giving his discourse on the bread of life. And he was teaching that he was the bread of life. And the essence of that teaching was the doctrine of his deity. And he was telling them that they must trust in him to be saved. And the Bible says in John chapter 6 and around verse 60, "And from that time forward, many of his disciples went with him no more." They were disciples in the sense of being a follower, but they were not truly believers in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we ought to be here tonight united by the fact that we believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection, a literal heaven, a literal hell, a virgin-born Savior, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all three in one, all three members of the Godhead. Hey, the literal rapture of the church, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the eternal security of the believer, the depravity of mankind, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. The list goes on and on and on. I'm speaking to you about what makes us a church tonight is not a building. It is the fact that we are bound together by the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And we need to continue in that truth. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That included the salvation of Jesus. That included the doctrine of the apostles. If you would turn in your Bible very quickly to Acts chapter 5 and verse 27, you'll see how committed they were to the doctrine. Some of you are told at times you need to be careful about talking so much about Jesus, and there are appropriate times, maybe at lunch or after work, and maybe at certain settings when you're allowed these freedoms. And I understand there's protocol, but I also understand there's cowardice. And I understand there are times when I must exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it hair lips the Pope or not. I'm going to stand up and do what God has called me to do. Amen. I grow weary of politicians who tell us they believe in Jesus Christ, but who kneel at the mosque. They believe in Jesus Christ, but every time they get a chance, they're bowing down to an imam or bowing down to some other faith or whatever the case might be. Hey, be respectful and love your neighbor and be kind and not harsh, but never, ever be ashamed of the fact that you are a child of God and your faith is in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, well, Pastor, where do you get that dogma? Well, let's read Acts chapter 5, verse 27. "And when they had brought them," speaking of these disciples, these apostles, "in Jerusalem, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straitly command that ye should not teach in this name?'" By the way, what name do you think it was? I was invited to preach at a public setting in another city several years ago. And they sent the letter to me. "We're glad you're coming to give the invocation. We request that you name no sectarian names in your prayer." Let me give you the little in between the lines for that. That means don't say Jesus in our city hall. Say, what'd you do? You know what I did. They haven't had you back. No, they haven't. But I wasn't going to deny the name that brought me there. There's only one way Christians can pray. It's in Jesus' name. And this has been a problem since the first century. It's don't get a complex. Notice what it says. "We told you not to teach in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your..." What's the next word say? You see, doctrine matters.
And they had filled Jerusalem with his doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, read it with me, we ought to obey God rather than men. Say it again. We ought to obey God. You see, there was doctrine, and doctrine was given a priority. And they were obedient to the Lord in sharing the wonderful doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doctrine was given a priority as they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Secondly, I want you to see tonight, devotion was prevalent. There was a loving spirit that God blessed. Now, in the Word of God, in verse number 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, notice though, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, one of the things we have tried to be careful about for 24 years is emphasizing the doctrinal teaching of the Word of God, that we are a sound, fundamental church holding to the truth of the Word of God, and that it is doctrine that brings us together, and that we will not compromise the doctrine. But we have also been blessed not merely with the doctrinal position, but with a loving devotion as a church. Speak the truth in love. And one of the things we must continue in as the Spirit of God leads us is to continue loving one another, loving a lost and dying world, and having a devotion that is prevalent. I went into a fellow's office one time and he had a sign behind his desk. And the desk said, God loves you and I am trying. You ever meet someone you want to say, try a little harder? Try a little harder? Look, the world at times can be rough and cruel and demeaning to the child of God. But may Lancaster Baptist always be a place where God's people can find a haven of rest. A place of love. They had devotion in several ways. Notice they had devotion in their fellowship. The Bible says, and fellowship. It is our duty to stimulate one another to holiness, to encourage one another in righteousness, to help one another when family trials comes and difficulty comes. And the word here, fellowship, is that famous Greek word, koinonia. It means a partnership or a sharing as we partner together as a church in fellowship, loving one another. You know, I just can't wait. And I know it's going to happen next Sunday night and Monday night. The choir will stand and sing. And many brethren that we've known perhaps from meetings and preaching in Georgia or Texas or Virginia, wherever they're coming from, they're going to come into this house of God, and they're going to fellowship with us for a few days. And I can see it now. As the choir begins to sing songs like they sang tonight, many a tear will come down the faces of God's people. Just with the sense, it's good to be at God's house, fellowshipping around the Lord Jesus Christ with people of like fashion. By the way, we get to hear it every single week. Don't ever take it for granted. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a fellowship. What a joy. Devotion in fellowship. Notice it specifically says they had devotion in the breaking of bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not of the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word communion speaks again of the fellowship. It speaks of that koinonia fellowship. And we have the privilege several times a year to gather around, specifically fellowshipping around the table and remembering the shed blood and the broken body. And then it says in verse 42, and in prayers. And they had fellowship and devotion and love because of the time of prayer. And Romans 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer and lifting up needs to the Lord and bringing prayer requests to the Lord is a way that we can fellowship one with another in the ways and in the will of God. You see, this church was continuing and they continued. How did they continue? They continued in the doctrine. They kept learning of Christ, learning of His deity, learning of His works, learning of His ways, learning the doctrine of the Word of God. And they continued. Thank God for Christians here tonight. And I see several here tonight who've been here since the very first days that I was here, and some even before, and still continuing tonight. It has not always been easy, but the Word of God has always been right. Continue in the doctrine. Stay with the truth. I remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 60. As the Bible says, some of the disciples went away. And you read John 6, 60 through 70, and you'll find that Jesus turned to His 12 and He said this to them. will you also go away? Are you going to leave too, or will you continue on? And it says here, and they continued. Doctrine was a priority. Devotion was prevalent. Notice thirdly, dedication was persistent. They continued with a dedicated spirit. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common. One of the ways they had this dedicated spirit was through a reverence for God. And there were great manifestations of God's power in their midst that caused them to have an awe of God and a reverence for God. I was over in the Spanish department this afternoon, and what a blessing it was to me. And the auditorium was packed, and Brother Carlos Navarrete was preaching the house down over there. I mean, he was preaching. And I don't know a lot of Spanish, but I know what he's preaching about. He was telling them, amongst other things, to love America. And of the blessing of being in America. And to pray for America and win souls in America. Hey, that's a great message, isn't it? Thank God for everyone that comes to America, but I believe everybody that comes here ought to love it. Ought to thank God for it. But he was challenging them to have a soul-winning heart and a heart of prayer. And here we see this heart in the book of Acts chapter 2 was a spirit of awe. And they were in awe at the work of God. Let me challenge you with something. Try not to lose the wonder of it all. Don't get over the fact that you're saved. Don't lose the awe for what God has done. Don't lose the awe for what God is doing. I mean, these people were in the midst of the manifestation of signs and wonders in many different ways. And it was a reverential thing. And we have seen this morning souls saved and souls baptized. And we have seen missionaries sent and missionaries supported and lives changed. I met a man this morning over there in the North Auditorium who was led to Christ by Brother Montaño in Hermosillo, Mexico. That's awesome. Amen. A young man saved out of the gangs from this church and got saved and got through Bible college and married a sweet girl. And he's in Mexico, and I met someone this morning. By the way, that man's soul is fruit to your account. That's awesome, you see. If you're not careful, you'll become a crusty old cranky Baptist. I've met a few in my day, you want to kick the crust off of them. You know? Hey, when someone gets saved, hey, look, and say, man, we're baptizing 7 people this morning. It's going to take a little longer. I'm going to be late to the hometown buffet. Hey, you ought to skip the hometown buffet and wave your hanky for joy that someone got saved and baptized. You see, on this 24th anniversary, let's keep the wonder of it. Let's continue on being excited about what God has done. They had a great dedication through reverence. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing how God worked in their life. They had a dedication through sacrifice in the early church. Verse number 44 speaks about them having all things in common and how they gave to those who were in need. And while this type of communal existence did not become the normal practice of the Christian church in the later books of the Bible, what the principle is showing us here in the text is there was such a devotion and love that whenever someone came to Christ, if they had a need, everyone else wanted to help meet that need. And can I say to you tonight, that spirit should still be present in the church of Jesus Christ. We ought to do our best to meet the needs of others and to care for the souls of others. They were devoted one to another. Oh, tonight, I want you to just think about that little phrase this week. And they continued. Will you say it with me? And they continued. All the ladies, please. And fellas. And they continued in the doctrine. And they continued with the heart of devotion. And they continued with the heart of dedication to the Lord and the people of God. May we continue on. I've been spending extra time with the Lord this week as we get ready for this anniversary Sunday. And oftentimes I've said, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you this year. I want you to use me again in this next year. I want to stay true to the doctrine. I don't want to be an old crusty pastor. I want to keep loving the people. I want to be dedicated in the work. I don't know about you, but for me, I have to sometimes make those decisions intentionally. I've got to re-up. I've got to say, Lord, I want to continue with you. By the way, how many of you are glad he continues with you? May we continue with him. Father in heaven, help this Lancaster Baptist Church to be a church that continues. Help me to be a pastor that continues. Lord, this nation needs continuing Christians. This nation needs Christians who won't give up and pastors who won't compromise and people who won't quit. Oh, Lord, help us to continue.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.